This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
He's Toby Altizer. I'm Grant Paulson. Producer Darris Dameron is with us. Spring training is over at this point. One more exhibition game back here in D.C. where we are recording the pod. That is going to take place on Tuesday afternoon. The prospects are going to take on the big leaguers in a JV varsity showdown. But in the meantime, Toby, we can take a dive into the roster, some of the expected decisions, how we see things winding down in the hours ahead as the Nats brain trust comes together to try to form this 26-man roster.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is we talked about it last podcast, and we're going to dive into it again, Trey Lipscomb, and he hasn't made it any easier on Rizzo by being bad. He's been incredible still, so he continues to do his thing. I think his batting average got over 400 for the spring. So he showed you, I mean, he's ready. And I know, you know, scroll around Twitter a lot. I think a lot of people are excited that hopefully Lipscomb can make the opening day roster. But you see a few detractors saying, hey, it feels a little bit rushed. He wasn't spectacular last year all year. He struggled in the fall league a little bit. Even though he was good defensively, he wasn't always great at the plate. And to me, this is a guy who's had plenty of time to play in the minor leagues, and he's a little bit older as a prospect. So it's not as if he's, you know, a 21-year-old kid that you're calling up and it feels a little bit rushed. I think this guy is seasoned enough and ready to go. So I hope to see him on the opening day roster. I think he'd be ready to do so. And I guess we'll get to see here in a couple of days.
Yeah, he is, to your point. You know, he's not like he's a 20-year-old, right? He's 23, played college baseball, was a third-round pick, the 84th selection in 2022. And he hasn't played a ton in the minor leagues. You know, after getting drafted, he played 23 games, got about 100 at-bats in Fredericksburg. Last year was his only full season in the minors, but he played every day, almost 130 games, which is great to see. It shouldn't hit a wall necessarily because of that until the very end of the season, maybe. But over 500 at-bats for him last year, started in a plus ball and then played at the double-A level for his 500-plus at-bats at those three levels. So 152 games, right around a full big league season, so to speak, in the minors in the last year and change since being drafted. 276 average, 725 OPS, you know, 15 home runs. So the numbers don't blow you away, but as you said, he's shown defensive versatility, flexibility, and most importantly, they said when he showed up in camp, hey, if you do all of these things, you can win a job. I mean, that's what they dangle in front of some of these advanced, mentally capable prospects. What did he do? He went out and with a 1-for-2 performance in the final game of the Grapefruit League on Sunday. Nats, by the way, finished 15-12, over 500 in spring training play. With that hit, And the two at-bats, he finished with a .400 batting average, a .995 OPS, and he was better at second base than Luis Garcia, who booted another ball on the final day of spring training. So if it matters to you at all, Toby, you know, if they actually make this a meritocracy or they try to, you know, reward a guy to show everyone that if you do everything we say, it matters and you can win a job, then Trey Lipscomb can be a poster child for that.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like some people are looking at it saying that it's a little bit rushed, and I just don't feel that that's the case. I mean, he's an older prospect, like we just talked about, and also, it doesn't feel like, I don't know, just being in the clubhouse, seeing him around there, I think all the guys you could say this about, but I mean, especially a guy like Trey Lipscomb, he felt like he belonged, right? He felt like he belonged to the big league clubhouse. You move him down a few slots away from the prospects and you put him down there by the big leaguers and you wouldn't have noticed anything different. I mean, this is a guy that looked like he belonged. I think he understands how to handle himself. So, you know, it's something where if he comes up and struggles, obviously you can maybe send him down. I don't think that's obviously what you want to see, but I think he's ready to get a shot here. Now, you know, you look at a Dylan Cruz, if you were to try to call him up, obviously the way he's been playing, that feel rushed. I don't think that Wood would feel rushed if he were to be on the opening day roster. I think these guys have shown you, and I think it's being shown around Major League Baseball, that if a guy is doing well at Double A or he's shown enough at that level, then he can come up and play. And the Nationals have historically shown that. So I think that Trey Lipscomb's ready to make the opening day roster. I hope they ultimately reward him with it. And I don't think it always has to be a meritocracy, but when you lay it out for him like that, a guy that you feel like has the opportunity to earn a job, he does everything to earn it, I think it sets a good statement for the guys in the organization when you say, you know what, you've done everything. It's not like Luis Garcia has taken the job by the reins. It's not like really anyone around the infield, aside from, you know, CJ, who's kind of locked in over there at shortstop. It's not like any of the guys have really taken their position by a stranglehold. And so Trey Lipscomb has been probably the second best player on the Nationals in spring. Why not give him a chance?
Yeah, one thing I would add to about this is that he is not one of their highest ceiling prospects. Yeah. Him getting there first, I like to call it a first responder, I think it has to do with two things. Number one, they're just way thinner in the infield than they are in the outfield. If James Wood was a second baseman or a third baseman, there's a chance he'd be breaking camp in the major league starting on opening day, right? So I think that's part of this. Second thing is, he played college baseball at Tennessee in the SEC, whereas Wood was at IMG Academy. Dylan Cruz was at LSU, but is a year, you know, further away in terms of development. He didn't have the full season last year that Lipscomb did, playing 130 games. He basically had the post-draft few weeks that Lipscomb had in 2022. So he's just like a year behind in that regard. But I bring this up to say, is he rushed in terms of what I normally give third-round draft picks, college or high school, more at-bats and more games than they're going to give Lipscomb? Yeah, I think traditionally so. But he's mature. He has done a great job this spring looking ready. And I think, most importantly, like, the SEC is high-level baseball. So you can look at the back of the baseball card and see, oh, it's only been 150 games in the minor leagues. I would liken conference play in the SEC to high A-plus, like high A-plus level baseball, probably. You know, when you're facing, depending on the night, a Skeens-type pitcher like he was when he was at Tennessee, or, you know, a nasty ace at LSU or, you know, fill in the blank program, you are facing a top prospect in another team's organization that's got better stuff than a lot of the guys you're going to face in the minor leagues last season until he was probably at Double A some nights. So I say all that to say the guys are ready faster sometimes. They're more advanced when you draft college players out of power conferences, and I think he kind of fits that bill. But looking at the roster as it's currently constructed, so we're taping this on Sunday night. So yesterday, on Saturday, they made some roster moves early in the morning. Alex Call, Jacob Young, Drew Millis got sent to Triple A. Call had a great spring. You know, this kind of a tweener, 4A type minor major league guy that you guys saw play at the major league level a lot last year. Jacob Young's a hustler, can play the outfield, good defensive player, can run like the wind. Former seventh round pick out of Florida. debuted last season. He's going to play more in the majors, hopefully, than the minors this year. I wanted him to get the job over Robles, but it wasn't in the cards because Victor Robles, as he always does, had a great spring again. And then Millis gets optioned because they've got a couple catching options. So they're down to 27 remaining healthy players in camp. And we know who the pitching staff is, right? Davey's already laid it out. So let's start there, get your reactions, and then we can kind of go through the position groups. But the rotation, Josiah Gray on opening day, day off. You're going to have Patrick Corbin and Jake Irvin in games 2 and 3. Game 4, back at Nats Park for the Nats Park opener on Thursday, is going to be Mackenzie Gore, or on Monday, rather, a week from probably if you're listening to this Monday, a week from today. So Mackenzie Gore, Nationals Park opener, and then the fifth starter will be Trevor Williams. So that's the rotation. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of cool because when we were down in West Palm, you and Danny on Grant and Danny and 106.7 The Fan were talking with Davey and asked if there was any sort of consideration for, obviously, the traditional opening day starter, Josiah Gray, I think, obviously deserved that nod. But fans showing up April 1st for the home opener, are they going to get someone exciting? And they are. They're going to get Mackenzie Gore at the home opener. So I think that's a cool little thing that he did, just pushing probably Gore's start back by a game or two to give the fans at home something to get really excited about. So I really like what he's done. Now, that fifth starter position, at some point, I want to see Jackson Rutledge, hopefully pretty quickly, at some point into that rotation because, you know, Bobby Blanco, our guy that we hung out with down in West Palm, posted a graphic of Davies and Williams fighting for that fifth rotation spot, and it should have had graphic, like a
NSFW,
graphic warning.
Like, not suitable for
bad.
Work.
It was bad. It was like 4 starts for each of them. I think Williams had like a 7.20 ERA. Davies had a 9. They already moved on from Zach Davies. So at some point, I think you'll see someone fill in there, but for the time being with Trevor Williams, again, you need guys that can eat innings. And that's sometimes the issue when you have young starters, is maybe they don't throw strikes and they don't get as deep into the games. And we saw that at times last year when you have Gore, you have Gray, some guys still learning at the major league level, as opposed to a Corbin. Corbin might not be good. He might give up 5-6 runs, but he'll get you through 6, usually. At least it feels like that. Whereas Gray and Gore sometimes are getting pulled 3 and 4 innings, and that just screws your bullpen for a full week. So hopefully Trevor Williams can give them a little bit more dependable, I guess, innings eater, but we'll see. I think that last rotation spot's going to be a revolving door.
I agree with you. I want to see Rutledge. I think you'll see Mitchell Parker. Remember, in the future, probably closer to midseason maybe, Cade Cavalli will be ready to go, so that's a natural way to get him back into the rotation. They do have just a lot more kind of, it seems like, big league ready depth at the minor league level. A guy like DJ Hers, who I talked to today on my SiriusXM show, Minors and Majors, I mean, he could theoretically make starts for them pretty early in the season if they wanted him to, although I think next time we see him, it could be in a multi-inning relief role. But yeah, they have options, and they haven't in a long time, which is a good sign for the depth of the org. So that's the rotation. The bullpen is set, so you've got Finnegan as the closer, Harvey kind of your B closer on days where Finnegan can't, and the setup man. They brought in Dylan Floro. They've got Tanner Rainey, who got absolutely blown up in his final start of the spring. So I'm going to be monitoring him with some intrigue coming back this year to be more readily available after his injury. But Jordan Weems, who pitched a lot last season, Robert Garcia, the lefty, Derek Law, and then Matt Barnes round out the bullpen. A couple of notes here. Law, who's a Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania native, who was a 9th-round pick out of Miami, Florida, he just pitched so well they had to keep him. I mean, he has been a big leaguer in the past quite a bit. He's pitched in almost 250 games over the years, and last year he pitched in almost 55 games for the Reds in the National League. But you look at his spring, I thought he was really good. 7 1/3 innings and 7 appearances, 8 strikeouts and just 2 walks, only 3 hits. Didn't give up any runs. So I'll be curious to see what kind of start he gets off to, whether or not he can prove himself pretty reliable in the early going, but he was awesome in the spring. And then on the flip side of that is Matt Barnes, who we just didn't see a lot of because he came late in the game. They signed him as a non-roster guy at the tail end of you know, really the ramp up and then into spring training. But four appearances, 3.2 innings, a hit, three strikeouts, no walks. He was very, very sharp. I'm just not as confident in him. He has struggled at the big league level. Last year had an ERA over five. Really, it's been, you got to go back to, I don't know, maybe 2018, 2019 to find the last time he was really throwing the ball well. He had a good run when he was an all-star in 2021 with Boston for some of that season, but ended up with an elevated earned run average. So Barnes will be an intriguing watch as well, but that's your bullpen. Finnegan, Harvey, Floro, Rainey, Weems, Garcia, the lefty, Law, and Barnes. What do you think?
So this is what's interesting. I saw that the new guy covering the Nationals for the Washington Post, Spencer, is it Newsbaum, Nussbaum? We have to figure out exactly how to say his name.
I think as a journalist who's covering a team, we got to go with Newsbaum.
I love it. Spencer, yeah. Newsbaum. So he tweeted out that Fangraphs had a projected war by position. And if you go through the Nats, we won't go through all of them, but the Nats' highest rated one is the bullpen. Outside of the bullpen, everything ranks in the 20s and below. For the bullpen, it's 14th. So they think that the bullpen for the Nationals is actually top half of the league. And wow. I think it's something that, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that this might actually be one of the best, if not the best, bullpen just going in opening day that the Nationals have possibly ever had, which is crazy to think about in this type of a season. But last year, there were times when it just felt like there was no one that Davey could depend on. This year, it feels like there's at least three, four, maybe even five options. And maybe they're not A-plus relievers. You don't have a Josh Hader closing games out. You don't have Sean Doolittle in his prime back there. But Kyle Finnegan was solid for a long stretch last year. Hunter Harvey showed that he was capable when he was able to stay healthy. Tanner Rainey coming back obviously helped. So I think that you look at the bullpen, and I think it's going to be better than what you've known for a Nationals bullpen for a long time. So it might be the best part of the team, and we'll see if that can play out. I think the big thing for the bullpen, and I think it was a big thing last year too, if they can stay healthy, I think they'll have a solid pen. Last year, weren't necessarily always able to stay healthy. It wasn't as deep as this pen, but when you have injuries and you have to start calling guys up and you bring in other dudes, it doesn't go as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, what they did this year, I feel like, is they brought in veterans from other orgs that have had a lot of success, right? Barnes, Law, Floro, and kind of varying degrees here over the last couple of years. Finnegan's nasty. I mean, he's added a pitch. He's had a hell of a spring. He's been awesome. But, like, he's a legitimately excellent reliever. Now, is he a top-tier closer? Probably not. I mean, he'd be a lights-out setup man maybe for a World Series-type team. But he's legit. Hunter Harvey's nasty. Then that stuff is gross. Fastball-slider combo, you know, could touch triple digits. Again, another guy who could be setting up and pitching seventh inning, you know, important innings for a team in the playoffs. There won't be the Nats this year, but like that's a 1-2 punch that I think teams around the sport would admire. So, you know, they might be missing like the closer you'd spend a bunch of money on to lengthen the whole thing and make it really, really good. But if here's where I stop short of saying they're going to be awesome or that I buy it being maybe the best pen they've had in a while. What are you going to get out of Barnes? What are you going to get out of Floro? And which Tanner Rainey is this? Is Rainey back to, if Rainey's back to pitching like he did in 19, when he was basically the only reliever they trusted other than Sean Doolittle and Daniel Hudson, remember? He was like the third guy. Mm-hmm. He was their seventh inning arm, essentially. If he could be that guy for Finnegan and Harvey, and then you've got those veterans, Law, Barnes, Garcia, Floro to go to. Weems' stuff's really good. He came into his own last year. Now I can see the vision and see what you're talking about with it being such a good pen. But I've just got my own questions about Barnes, about Floro. Didn't have nearly as good a spring as some of the other guys we're talking about. They only have the one lefty as well in Robert Garcia, which I'll be interested to see how that plays out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.